640 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. It'll be another day of unhealthy air for nearly a dozen states in the Midwest and North. It's all from wildfires burning in Canada. This man is in Minneapolis.
I've lived here for 25 years, and certainly this has been, the last few days, some of the more extreme smoke conditions we've had.
Authorities have launched an investigation into Jack Smith, the former special counsel who investigated President Trump before he returned to office for alleged illegal political activity. Former federal prosecutor Sarah Krisoff.
The allegation here is to whether Jack Smith's actions were political in some way.
In Rome, Pope Leo presided over a final mass for more than a million young people, the culmination of a pilgrimage that has drawn Catholics from around the world. Sister Andrea is there from Miami.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was powerful to receive his blessing.
The young pilgrims from 146 different countries, according to the Vatican, have filled Rome's streets since Monday. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shelley Pittman. A new study shows most faculty at Wisconsin universities and across the country have serious concerns about the consequences of holding and expressing liberal political viewpoints. Judith Ruiz-Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The study from Brandeis University aimed to understand what faculty thought about specific political issues and how they taught about them. Research scientist Graham Wright says they found that many hot-button topics rarely come up in classroom settings.
Less than 10% of the faculty we spoke to reported actively teaching about Israel-Palestine, and for three-quarters of them, it just never came up at all. Despite all the discourse about these issues.
He says despite faculty being spoken of as activists, only about 20% of faculty included in the study engaged in any form of political activism or social media posting about current politically contentious topics. The Trump administration is targeting U.S. universities with intense focus on anti-Semitism and diversity viewpoints. Some campuses, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison, have faced federal investigations. Others experienced fines and funding cuts. Study co-author Professor Leonard Sachs says the research suggests these broad measures often affect faculty who aren't contributing to any perceived problems.
What goes on college campuses is very important, and it's now the focus of a debate that oftentimes seems unhinged, where you have the attention being focused on a small number of people and generalizing it to all campuses.
Sachs says faculty should be viewed as allies, and he's concerned that the future of higher education is currently at stake. Despite the lack of faculty initiation, the majority of those in the study said they are open to students expressing alternative viewpoints in the classroom. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz-Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Another victory in D.C. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers wrapping up their series today in Washington against the Nationals. They beat them again last night, 8-2, a home run from Christian Yelich. But why did Sal Frelick have to leave the game after his second at-bat? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Well, Sal had to leave the game. That's a knee problem again, the same thing he had during the Chicago series, so where he missed three of the games. That's part of his meniscus. He's had surgery on it back in 19, and yeah, the doctors will have to tell you what they think.
NFL, the Packers under the lights last night in Green Bay with family night, nearly 60,000 fans in attendance.
What a great environment, man. That's great for our football team to get out there and experience our fans and in that environment. So I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Still some air quality concerns thanks to wildfire smoke. A mostly sunny sky for your Sunday with highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s. Our winds will turn to the east. For tonight, a few clouds around the area. Lows will drop back into the lower to middle 60s. It's 66 at our studios.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast available anytime you want it.
Hey, it's Downtown Danny Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about the floods in Texas. Who's to blame, and what can we learn about it here in Wisconsin? We're also going to honor the baseball's rising stars, especially at the local level, and then, of course, the politics of softball. Join us. It's going to be a great show.
This Week in Waukesha, a podcast always available online at waukradio.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch and what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is a Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, depending where you are around the world. We're worldwide at civicmedia.us. My name's Lou Vergani, your host, for a disaster movie, one you haven't seen, or you thought you'd seen them all. One of my favorites, 1960. Oh, they go back to the late 30s, actually. One of my favorite was Five Came Back with, would you believe, Lucille Ball, 1939. Disaster movies on the radio? Sure. Oh, that one from 1960 that I began telling you about. Robert Stack, you remember now? Well, it was The Last Voyage.
...1,500 carefree passengers, happily unaware of a note to the captain. A hissing steam gauge.
For God's sake, Walsh, get out of here!
And the strange tricks love can play.
Anybody can say I love you.
I then say it.
Sounds so corny. I'd rather show you.
One moment, a honeymoon to last forever. And the next...
Help! Can somebody hear me?
Greg, I'm asking you for the last time. Where's that torch?
Torch!
My wife's pinned in the wreckage. It's the only thing that'll get her loose.
Never before has the screen flamed with adventure and suspense so real. Because every dramatic moment was filmed at fever pitch, entirely aboard the world's most glamorous luxury liner. The captain. His biggest decision had been who should dine at the captain's table.
I'm still the captain.
Captain. And I know you're a joke, a stumbling, incompetent, career-happy joke.
The engineer who risked the charge of mutiny to save his passengers. And a common seaman with an uncommon amount of courage.
Tell that woman down there, the one trapped in her cabin. Her husband's with her and he doesn't want to leave without her.
You get in that boat.
No, sir.
Look, I lost enough guys today. You heard me? Get in the boat.
We don't have much time, Mr. Walsh.
Hurry it up, for God's sake!
The sky was clear on the morning when the Phoenix sailed away. Though years have passed, when I reminisce, it seems like yesterday. The captain with his crew, each man a job to do, was unaware of the terror they would later rendezvous. The voyage made many times before, but this would be the last. Each man would beg for mercy before the night was past. Exactly what occurred cannot be told in words. The sights and sounds unlike anything they'd ever seen or heard. The wind began to blow gale force with piercing sharp loud screams. A dance floor broiled with glowing lights in yellows, blues and greens. Just what it was is a mystery, a terror-filled display. To cause 12 men to kneel and bow their heads to pray. For safety each man yearned and vowed to ne'er return. A promise made to their maker from the sea they walked away.
We're taking you on some memorable ocean voyages tonight. And before you freak out and say no traveling by ship for me, keep in mind how many hundreds of ships sail every day around the world, and how few ever have a problem. The truth is, you're in more danger of getting in trouble simply walking down a street. But that said, we're in for a very exciting time with our next movie, which is aptly titled The Last Voyage. It's from MGM in 1960, written, produced, and directed by Andrew Stone, who worked closely with his wife, Virginia Stone, who was the film's editor, and with Andrew also wrote the music score. The story takes place on board a luxury liner, where a massive fire breaks out. But what's most impressive is the fact that the filmmakers don't fake what happens to the ship, nor do they sink the ship via special effects. You will actually see a real ocean liner sinking, but under very controlled circumstances, I quickly add. And this isn't just any ship, but the once glorious ocean liner, the Ile de France. The idea for the movie came to Andrew Stone when he read that the Ile de France, at that time docked in Japan, was soon going to be scuttled. Well, Stone personally purchased the ship for the sole reason of making a movie about a luxury liner in trouble, one where he could do it realistically, which is indeed what he did. While cameras rolled, he set the ship on fire and he sunk it. I mean, everything looks real because it is real. It complicated the shoot enormously because there was no margin for error. Most scenes had to be shot once in one take or else. But it's fascinating to see, knowing that what you're watching is a gorgeous ship actually sinking before your eyes. Now, in the cast, you'll see an interesting mix of actors, including Robert Stack, Dorothy Malone, also George Sanders, Edmund O'Brien, and Woody Strode. The cinematography is by veteran Hal Moore, whose many achievements include 33 years before photographing the first movie with sound and dialogue, The Jazz Singer. But here from 1960, The Last Voyage.
About the flapping fish and the girls I love, nights like this with the moon above. Whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me anytime that I would ask her. Then one evening her flame of love blew out, blow me down and pick me up. She swapped me for a trout. Got a whale of a tale to tell you that, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I love, on nights like this with the moon about. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Typhoon Tessie, met her on the coast of Java. When we kissed, I bubbled up like molten lava. Then she gave me the scare of my young life. Blow me down and pick me up, she was the captain's wife. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, but a whale of a tale or two,
by the flapping fish and the girls I've loved. On nights like this with the moon above, we love a tale and it's all true. I swear by my tattoo. There was Harpoon Hannah, had a face that made you shudder, lips like fish hooks, and a nose just like a rudder.
If I kissed her and held her tenderly,
there's no sea monster big enough to ever frighten me. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lad, a whale of a tale or two, about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved. On nights like this with the moon above, whale of a tale and it's all true. I swear by my tattoo.
That's Kirk Douglas. And by the way, he couldn't sing. So they had special singing lessons with Norman Luboff conducting the orchestra behind the scenes. For Kirk Douglas, Doris Day.
The voices ringing, they seem to say,
you have stolen her heart, now don't go away.
As we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay,
we were sailing along on Moonlight Bay. We could hear the voices ringing. They seemed to say, you have stolen her heart.
You have stolen her heart.
Now don't go. As we sang love's old sweet songs on Moonlight Bay.
Sailing through the moonlight, on Moonlight Bay.
The Ile de France. On her last voyage to make a movie.
Full speed astern. To Mary McVeigh, the many meanings which departure holds could be summed up in the word adventure. To Fred and Helen Wilson, the sailing means the beginning of a second honeymoon. To hundreds of other passengers from Boston and Dallas and many other American cities, it means hundreds of other combinations of what the French line and Europe have to offer.
There's got to be a morning after, if we can hold on through the night, we have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside the storm. Why don't we cross the bridge together and find the place that's safe and warm? It's not too late. We should be giving. Only with love
it's not too late, not while we're living. Let's put our hands out in time. There's got to be a morning after. We're moving closer to the shore. I know.
Of the Star, 1972. Nominated for an Oscar, and yes, it won. Original song, Maureen Montgomery. Here's Michael Caine at the Oscars.
Michael is really right. We are homebodies. I mean, you never take me anyplace.
Well, sure, that's because you're complaining you never have anything to wear.
Well, I haven't.
Yeah, and you're wearing it.
Wait a minute, that's not on the cards. Wait, you were supposed to just come out here and say the nominees for the best song are, and
read
it.
All right, that's what I'll do. Okay, I'm saying it now.
All right.
They are Ben from Ben, music by Walter Scharf and lyrics by Don Black.
Come Follow, Follow Me from The Little Ark, music by Fred Carlin, lyrics by Marcia Carlin.
Marmalade, Molasses, and Honey from The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean, music by Maurice Jarre, lyrics by Marilyn and Alan Bergman.
The Morning After from The Poseidon Adventure, music and lyrics by Al Kasha and Joel Hirshhorn.
Strange Are the Ways of Love from The Stepmother. Stepmother, I thought it said father for a second. Music by Sammy Fain, lyrics by Paul Francis Webster. And the winner is... Ta-da.
I'll do it.
You want the opener?
No, I'll do it with my finger. The winners are Al Kasha and Joel Hirshhorn for The Morning After.
Well,
All I can say is that I'm in a state of shock. This is a fantastic surprise, and I just want to thank Lionel Newman for giving us the opportunity, and Ronald Neame and Irwin Allen, and special thanks to Happy Go Day for believing in us from the beginning. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to give my thanks to Irwin Allen, the producer, and Ronald Neame, and of course Lionel Newman, and a special thanks to Happy Go Day, and most of all to the Academy. I'm very extremely grateful. And you made two people very happy in Brooklyn tonight, Rose and Irving Kasher. So I want to thank you for that.
Ask you, what do you say? Hey, let's make a day of it later when the moon is out riding clear across the licorice sky. I bet you not a single star will be hiding, and we'll name them all, catch them if they fall. We don't need tomorrows with money, long as we're together they'll be sweeter than marmalade, molasses and honey. Cinnamon and sassafras tea, cinnamon and sassafras tea.
That's one of the Oscar losers. Marmalade, molasses, and honey. Andy Williams. No, it's not Oscar night. John Williams wrote this 2 years later, 1974. Based on a couple of great books, The Glass Tower and The Towering Inferno. John Williams. The Music of the Stars, John Williams' towering score for The Towering Inferno, 51 years ago. Same guys did the song, it's Al Kesha, Joel Hirshhorn, by Maureen McGovern. Played herself, actually. The Lounge Singer and a Party and a Brand New Skyscraper. Opening night.
We may never love like this again. Don't stop the flow. We can't let go. And touch the sky, but we may try. So while we're here, let's give our all, release the dreams inside us and set them free. Oh, while we're here, let's leave a mark. There's a candle in the dark. It's here to go. But through the days, beyond the haze, I see you reaching out to
me. How's the family?
Oh, did you find it?
I don't know.
Gary.
Just where away.
Would you excuse us, gentlemen? I've got a surprise for you.
Politicians don't like surprises.
Harlan? Yes, sir. Oh, what can I fix you, Mr. Duncan?
Still singing, performing, recording, Maureen McGovern.
Can you read my mind? Do you know what it is you do to me? Don't know who you are. Just a friend from another star. Here I am, like a kid out of school, holding hands with a gun. I'm a fool. Will you look at me, quivering like a little girl, shivering? You can see right through me. Can you picture the things I'm thinking of? Wondering why you are all the wonderful things you are. You can fly, you belong to the sky. You and I, we belong to each other.
McGovern from Superman. That song won the Oscar Best Song, 1974. Gene Kelly, Shirley MacLaine.
Shall I tell you the winner? Well, I'll open it if you read it.
Oh, the winners are Al Kesha and Joel Hirshhorn. We may never love like this again. That's wonderful.
I'd just like to say thank you to the producer, Owen Allen, to Lionel Newman,
to my wife, Jill, who's been such a source of inspiration, and to my family, who encouraged me to drop sonography and pursue songwriting as a full-time career. Thank you very much.
The great inspiration in my life, my wife, Seal Kasher. I'm very nervous, as you can see. And I'd like to thank the members of the Academy, and part of this is owed to Irwin Allen and Lionel Newman, Jerry Henshaw, and Happy Go Day, and to the public, and to all the members of the Academy, and thank you, Gene.
You notice that doesn't sound right?
Always make me cry.
That was done on purpose. We played that in a major key.
He said he had to work, so I went to the show alone. They turned down the lights and turned the projector on. And just as the news of the world started to
all you got to do is put it in a major key, like the Imperial March in a major key. Sounds like a soap opera. Here, listen. See what I mean? And here's Bill Murray on Saturday Night Live singing lyrics to a song that never had any.
Da, da.
Da,
da 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 da.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I always open with a little something by a guy named Richard Strauss called 2001. Welcome to the Potter Room, everybody, up here at beautiful Meatloaf Mountain. I'm Nick Winters, and I'm here to entertain you, so sit back, have a hot buttered rum, and let it happen. Now, what do I see here down in front? We got a cute little girl here with a cast on her leg. Honey, why did you bother to come up to Meatloaf with a broken leg?
I broke it today. This is my vacation.
Oh, that's terrible. I guess we'll be seeing a lot of you here in the Potter Room, huh? I'm sure everybody wants to know. What's your name and how did you do it?
Oh, well, I'm Marilyn Sundberg, and I rented my skis and boots here at Meatloaf Mountain, and my bindings were too tight, and I broke my leg walking over to the tow lift.
Oh, bummer-ski, huh, everybody? That is awful. Well, the guys in rental are usually real good. It must have been some sabotage of some sort by disgruntled skiers or something. It happens. Hey, I am going to autograph your cast here, if you don't mind. A little something I always sign. Don't eat yellow snow, Nick Winters. All right, honey? You're welcome, kitten. Hey, who's this crazy dude? Your old man?
Paul Sundberg. I'm from Minneapolis.
And what do you do besides babysit for Marilyn here?
I'm a chemical purchaser for the Ice Master Salt Company. Here's my card right here. You know, you could use the product here at Meatloaf Mountain. You know, you could use...
Bueno, my amigo. We'll put this up over the bar with some of the other cards. Mr. and Mrs. Sundberg, this next song is going to be for you because I hope that leg heals and you're back on the slopes in a couple of weeks. Oh, that cast makes me so sad. Oh, don't it make my brown eyes? Don't it make my brown eyes? Don't it make my brown eyes blue? Tasty lick, Paul. Oh, don't it make my brown eyes. You know, they're actually hazel. Don't it make my brown eyes. Don't it make my brown eyes blue.
Is the Beantown Swing Band Cantina Band. There's Johnny.
So as not to be one of the few people in the country walking around saying, I haven't seen Star Wars. I went to see it last night. I'd seen a couple of film clips. And it's quite a trip. It's really a fun film, and it is. And underneath all the special effects, it's a story about a kid growing up on a planet that has, not like our two suns, monsters and strange people under any rock, but he seems to be pretty normal. And he plays the central character from Star Wars. Would you welcome Mark Hamill? Mark! First of all, I say I never had so much fun on a motion picture since I was a kid and went to see Buck Rogers with Buster Crabb. You see how quickly they forget Buster? Oh, that was a big... They show those now on Channel 13 around, and those were done, I think, in the early 30s. And that was considered, you know, really far out.
Right.
They were way ahead of their time. But Star Wars is an amazing film.
It's exactly what inspired George to make it,
really?
Though, because he has that great love for... He loved the Alex Raymond illustrations for Flash Gordon. He loved Buck Rogers. And he just felt that he wanted to make a movie where there were real heroes again. He thought, you know, with just cops busting people for dope and this and that, you know, he said, now let's go to a galaxy far, far away where we don't have to know why these guys are bad. They're just bad.
Well, what it was a Western. It's a intergalactic Western with the good guys very carefully delineated.
Mm-hmm.
You know where the bad guys are. You know the good guys.
Yeah.
You got the hero and his buddy who go to get the princess, right, Leia.
Yeah.
And it's all of those composite things together, and it's just for pure fun. You don't have
to sit
and say, what is the message behind this?
No.
What probing deep message? I understand some people. They told me some of the youngsters have been back 5, 6, and 7 times to see it.
We just visited the White House at that AFI film thing, and Amy Carter had seen it 5 times. We gave her a stormtrooper helmet from the movie,
one of the white ones?
Helmets, and I told her to wear it at the dinner table every night.
The Statler Brothers next up.
Everybody knows when you go to the show, you can't take the kids along. You've got to read the paper and know the code of G, P, G, and R, and X. And you got to know what the movie's about before you even go. Tex Ritter's gone and Disney's dead and the screen is filled with sex.
Whatever happened to Randolph Scott riding the trail alone? Whatever happened to Gene and Tex and Roy and Rex the Durango Kid? Oh, whatever happened to Randolph Scott, his horse plain as could be? Whatever happened to Randolph Scott, this happened to the best of me.
Everybody's trying to make a comment about our doubts and fears. True Grit's the only movie I've really understood in years. You've got to take your analyst along to see if it's fit to see. Whatever happened to Randolph Scott has happened to the industry.
Whatever happened to Johnny Mac Brown and Alan Rocky Lane? Whatever happened to Lash LaRue? I'd love to see them again. Whatever happened to Smiley Burnett, Tim Hope, and Gene Autry? Whatever happened to all of these has happened to the best of me. Whatever happened to Randolph Scott has happened to the industry.
This is your old buddy, Billy Playtex, bringing you your late movie. But right now, here's an important word from our sponsor.
Yes, sir!
Boom.
Cigarettes taste good, like a cigarette, good!
Right, and
boom.
Cigarettes aid digestion.
Yes, it's what's the front that counts.
And don't forget,
boom.
Cigarettes contain that new miracle ingredient.
Boom.
Now, on with our late movie.
You can do it, Doc.
I can't.
You must.
I can't.
Here, drink this black coffee. You gotta go in there and operate on that kid.
We'll get back to our movie in just a moment, but right now, here's another important message.
It's such a comfort to take the bus and leave the driving to us.
Oh, mercy.
that darn invisible shield.
And now we return to our picture, that exciting aerial epic of World War I, The Flying Tigers Meet Lassie.
Tom, you and I have seen a lot together since the barnstorming days when those crates were held together with baling spit and wire. As a friend, don't order me to take those kids on that run at 6,000 feet. It's suicide.
Bill, what if I told you that this mission could shorten the war by 5 years?
It's gone! My headache's gone! And asinine doesn't upset my stomach.
And now once again we return to our happy movie. That gay, delightful, tuneful, frolicking, sensational, all talking, all singing, all dancing musical, Death Takes a Holiday, Cha-Cha-Cha.
But we haven't got time to replace Celeste with a big name. The opening's tomorrow night. Say, wait a minute. What about that little wardrobe girl? She knows the part backward and forward. Oh, if Ruby Keeler were only here.
Go take me out to the movies. I'd rather stay home and relax. I'll tell you the trouble with movies. It's too darn many popcorn sacks.
Let me take off my shoes and run barefoot through your hair.
Oh, but Charles, I always thought you wanted to...
The big main feature lights the screen. The hero beats the villain back. Then comes the climax of the scene. Rattle, 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 popcorn sack. The mystery picture's in a mess. The cops admit the case looks black. Just when the crook starts to confess. Rattle, 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 popcorn sack. It brought back silent pictures. And that's no gag. The loudest sound department is in the bag. Comes a girl in tights are wrong, cut so in front and low in back. She makes a deep breath for a song. Rattle, 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 popcorn sack.
You know why, Jack? Now, I'll slug that mug with a popcorn sack.
When Katharine Hepburn speaks her part and gives out high dramatic art.
Or the Calla Lilies will soon be back on the chest of that pest with a popcorn sack.
That solid butter rattler soon drives you nuts. You must eliminate him. No ifs or buts. It doesn't mean a doggone thing when Mr. Jolson starts to sing. The noise comes from the sky behind. You turn and shoot, all down smack. You think now you have peace of mind.
Timbo!
Pulls another popcorn sack.
The opening scene is a ranch in Fresno, California. So what are they singing?
When it's cherry blossom time in Orange, New Jersey, we'll make a peach of a pear. I know we can't elope, so honey, do be mine. And if...
Up from the gulch rides a hunk of man. He is our hero, Cowboy Dan, a galloping, yodeling buckaroo. His horse, of course, is a baritone, too. I've got the... Oh, wagon wheels inside of me. I've got that old cactus in the hide of me. I've got that. The girls are delighted to hear this. But where is our heroine? As the bell rings for lunch, we find our heroine in the corral, eating her heart out. She is Mary Swann, tap-dancing daughter of an American juggling act who left her on the doorstep of an old English castle where she was found by Sir Basil Metabolism, who said, "By Jove, a girl, baby! I shall raise her as my own daughter," which he did. But she wants to tap-dance a cowboy Dan who she met on this trip and who was love at first sight, wants to marry her so she can tap-dance, but she knows Sir Basil will never permit this. Never, never, never! That's why she's eating her heart out. But through her tears, she is singing a happy little song, because she is also a coloratura soprano.
Feature film freaks, Art Fern here with today's feature film starring Steve McQueen, Butterfly McQueen, Queen Elizabeth, Ellery Queen, Truman Capote, and Mames, the Wonder Yak, in the Three Stooges open a funeral home. But first, friends, a couple of words. Are you bored in your present job? Is the highlight of your workday going to the restroom and snapping off a paper towel? Are you tired of sitting in a carpool next to a man with toilet paper plugging up the shaving nicks on his face? Is the most exciting thing you do at work rubbing up against the Xerox machine? Then, friends, maybe it's time, friends, that you should consider learning a new skill in the exciting field of hotel management. Enroll now in the Notel Motel Management School. You heard it right, friends. You'll learn all the basics of how to run the front desk at a motel, such as how quickly to hang out the no vacancy sign when a truck pulls up loaded with circus performers. We'll teach you how to ring the bell for the bellhop and say the word front. And speaking of front, yes, friends, it's our matinee lady. Holy, living proof that you can make it big in motels.
I made it real big in a motel. In room service.
I'll bet you did. Friends, at the Notel Motel Management School, we'll train you to be on the lookout for any man trying to sneak a woman into his room. You'll be suspicious if you see a man carrying a suitcase like this.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. I only know that I love you.
That's your misfortune.
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I can't let him go. I can't. There must be some way to bring him back. Oh, I can't think about this now. I'll go crazy if I do. I'll think about it tomorrow.
The music of the stars. Whoever laughed at Gone with the Wind score by Max Steiner. You know, that was originally written, and Herbert Stothart had the job. Herbert from Milwaukee to do the music of the Gone with the Wind score. I guess it was pretty good. It still exists somewhere. But Max, yeah, that's a classic. A lot of composers.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Despite sunny skies, smoke from Canadian wildfires will bring hazy skies and reductions in air quality to several states for a fourth day. This man's in Minneapolis.
You know, I've lived here for 25 years, and certainly this has been the last few days some of the more extreme smoke conditions we've had.
Pope Leo celebrates the largest event yet of his tenure, encouraging a crowd of more than a million Catholic young people gathered in a field near Rome to spread their faith.
We are with the young people of Gaza. We are with the young people of Ukraine, with those of every land bloodied by war. My young brothers and sisters, you are the sign that a different world is possible.
President Trump fired the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Bill Beach used to have that job and tells CNN.
I don't think there's any grounds at all for this firing, and it really hurts the statistical system. It undermines credibility in BLS.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.